Hello and welcome to the Intentional Manifestation Podcast, where we talk about all of the things that help us to manifest an aligned life that's beyond our wildest dream. My name is Megan, and I'm your host for this podcast. I use neuroscience, epigenetics, somatics, energetics, and holistic nutrition to help my clients completely shift their perspective so they can transform their life. To align your life with your dreams, check out my self-paced coaching program that also gives one-on-one coaching support. For just $47 per month, cancel anytime. You can find the link in the description.
Welcome, Emily. Again, I am so excited to chat with you today. I think that money is such a big thing, obviously, that people want. And, you know, a lot of people are uncomfortable chatting about money. So I would really love to connect with you and make money seem like just a normal thing, because it is. It's just energy, right?
I'm so thrilled, Megan, that we're having this conversation and that you're brave enough to be talking about money and creating this space, because we really need more of that. And I think, you know, culturally, we've been conditioned that it's not okay. And then that perpetuates this feeling of discomfort. And then when we see people talk about money, or we hear them talk about money and they seem comfortable with it, then we think, oh, well, they're just comfortable and I'm not, like, as though I had this, you know, gift bestowed upon me from the heavens. And it's like, no, I've just been practicing. It was uncomfortable AF when I started talking about money. And just like anything else, it's a muscle. And you start to learn that, you know, the sky doesn't fall. And actually, you create a lot of connection with other humans. And it's a very healing conversation. And then it gets a little easier and a little easier.
I love that so much. I really want to dig into that. But first, let's start by introducing yourself so people know who you are and what you do and how you help women with finding their money goals and getting to that place.
Yes. So hello. I am Emily June Wilcox. I'm a money healer and business mentor. I'm also a multi seven-figure CEO. So I'm a serial entrepreneur. I built product-based businesses, service-based agencies, and now a multi six-figure coaching business. I help women step into the wealth that they desire, primarily by healing their money wounds, but then also by scaling their business to seven figures. So I really love meeting women at the intersection of mindset and strategy and doing the work on both so that we can really build aligned businesses that are so joyous that also bring in tons of money and really change our family trees and heal ancestral wounds around money and ultimately, you know, really change the vibration of the planet as well.
Oh, I love it. Like, I'm just so excited to be here today. So when you talk about healing money wounds, can you elaborate on that? I mean, I know kind of what you mean, but for the people listening who are like, what the heck does that even mean to heal money wounds? Like, I don't have any wounds with money. You know, there's so many things that we don't know that we have, but can you just dig into that a little bit?
Yeah. So a money wound is a stored trauma. And so it is an unhealthy thought or feeling about money that creates, you know, a negative impact. And we all have them. There are six. So usually you'll find that two or three are pretty strong for you. And there may be a sprinkling of some others. And so, you know, if you're listening and wondering, well, what the heck are my money wounds? You can go to moneywoundsquiz.com and take a free quiz and find out. But also just depending on where your life circumstances are, they may be more present for you or not. I didn't know I had any money wounds. I didn't even know money wounds were a thing when I worked in corporate America. And I thought that my salary was dictated by the market and my job title and my bosses and what the industry was willing to pay. I didn't think I had money wounds when I was making a level of income that was considered normal in my community and in my family. So often it's not until we start to bump up against things that are not normal, like running your own business, setting your own prices, receiving a $20,000 pay in full in 1 second of one day, all of a sudden being able to afford a luxury vehicle for the first time. It's like when those things start to happen and you feel a way that you didn't expect to feel, those are symptoms of money wounds, because we can often think, oh, I would love to win the lottery. I would love to have a luxury vehicle. I would love to get $20,000 sent to me in 1 second. But when it actually happens and you feel anxiety, you feel beholden to the other person, you notice that you want to immediately start to over-deliver, that you want to justify, that you want to diminish what happened. It's like, oh, hang on a second. It's not how I thought I would feel. And that is because you have unhealed money wounds.
Oh, so good. I think all women who own a business, especially like when you're starting, we all feel that, where you want to justify your worth and your value and the service that you're giving. And we say, you know, maybe that's not a price that I'm used to paying, so nobody else is, I'm going to start that over. And maybe that's not a price that I'm used to paying, so nobody else is going to pay that, right? Because we operate from the world as we see it. And so if you don't have $10,000 to spend on a coach, well, how can you ever justify charging $10,000 to be a coach? Because there needs to be something in the middle there where it's normal. It's a normal price for you. And so how do people get to that? Like, where do we start with healing our money wounds?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in the example that you gave, I think there's a real opportunity to start to see the true value in your gifts. Because often we're willing to be paid a six-figure salary when we're trading time for dollars, when we're doing something where it's like so obviously valued to the company and where it's a little bit annoying to us. Like, we feel like we have to self-sacrifice a bit. All of a sudden, when we go into business for ourselves and we're trying to monetize our gifts, that's when it gets really funky. Because it's like, the truth of the truth for me is that doing a coaching call with one of my clients feels so effortless. It doesn't feel hard. It doesn't feel depleting. It sometimes doesn't even feel like what I said was that magical until I see the outcome of it for my clients. And so when we're trying to monetize our gifts, we really have to build some evidence around the value of the transformation, because the thing itself isn't going to feel very hard for us to deliver. And that's where we're used to setting our prices from, is like based on effort, not impact. And so there's a shift, and that's really associated with the hard money wound. So each of the six money wounds has its own unique medicine. And that's really the potency of having the diagnosis, because without it, we're trying to take a really blanketed approach. And often our real band-aid solution to our unhealed money wounds is, well, I just need to make more money. And that's like a really sexy idea, because we just think that's like, money is going to solve all my money problems. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you don't trust yourself with money, having more money actually creates more anxiety, because there's more ways that you can screw it up. If you don't feel safe, then it's like the more money that you have, it you just create more rules around it, and you won't let yourself touch it, and you won't let yourself spend it. And so you imagine that feeling rich is all of a sudden going to make you feel free, but you don't feel free because every time you spend money, it feels unsafe to do it. So I could go on and on with the examples, but my point is there's a potent medicine that's specific to each one of the wounds. And P.S., that potent medicine is never just go out and earn more. It's always about something deeper. And there's some inner work and inner healing to be done. And the reason we want to do that is because when we heal these money wounds, first of all, we stop repelling money. So more money just naturally starts flowing in, and we trust ourselves to be good shepherds of that money And so we start making wise investments. We spend it in interesting ways. We allow it to flow back to us. So we actually get to enjoy it. And we're able to build this long-term wealth. Because I will tell you, I have many clients that come to me that are earning $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, even $1 million a year, and they don't feel abundant. And it's not even just like they don't feel it. Legitimately, their bank account is still at just enough. So until we heal those underlying things, you can, in theory, on paper, be making tons of money, but you're self-sabotaging and you're spending and you end up back to just enough, which is not where we want to be.
Oh, love it. And that's the thing is that, you know, as you're talking about this, I just want to remind people that this is like subconscious. You're not like sitting there purposely self-sabotaging yourself, being like, you know what? I think I have too much money in my bank account. I should just like give it away or something, right? Like these are like subconscious things that happen. And it's even things like, I'll tell you, I was for a while thinking like, what keeps happening to me? So I manifested $13,000recently, back in the spring, and it came to me in an unexpected way. And then the CRA, I'm not sure if you're in Canada or the US or US. Elsewhere, but yeah. Okay, so in Canada, it's our revenue agency, so like the income tax.
Okay.
So I got this bill. They actually took all the money out of my account, like literally everything. Whoa. They drained my account because they said that I owed money, which I technically did, but there was like a whole story. Like I didn't know I owed money because there was an account open that I didn't know about that my accountant opened. It was like a huge thing, right? So like intricate details that I never would have known coming. So I took everything that I had and it did get sorted. But after that, actually on the same day that happened, my car stopped working. And so I was just like, what is happening to me? And I really had to go inwards and say like this is a subconscious thing. Like I am somehow like self-sabotaging myself. Like what is it? And I came to the realization it was a safety thing. 100% my subconscious did not feel that it was safe for me to have money. And so even though I'm really good at attracting it and manifesting it, deep down, I was like, well, it's not safe to have it. It's just going to be gone anyways. And, you know, from the work that I do, I know that I have a lot of like past life trauma that has to do with safety, but then also is growing up and being paycheck to paycheck. Money comes in and then it goes. Money comes in and then it goes, like instantly, right? You never have. Like, you have enough just to get you by, but you never have any more than that. And it's just that like flow of in, out, that I saw growing up. And so I just wanted to like share that story because these things are subconscious. They're not like things that we do to ourselves on purpose. And until you kind of take a look at that, it's not like, why are these bad things happening to me? I mean, you can think that, but there's something deeper that we have to look into. And that's what you're suggesting here is that there is these six different money wounds. And I would love if you would expand a little bit on what they are so people maybe can go, interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So there's the money shame wound. So I'm not worthy of money. The evil money wound, being too rich is bad, or I would have to go against my morals in order to become rich. There's the safe money wound. So I'm not safe until I have this, you know, fat bank account, or I'll be safe once I have that.
Mm-hmm.
The hard money wound, I have to work harder if I want to make more. The money trust wound, I don't trust myself with money. I think I'm going to screw it up. And then there's the disappearing money wound, which is I don't trust money. I'm scared that it's going to leave me.
Yeah, so good. And so you're saying that there's something specific that you do to heal each one of these beliefs.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, because they each have a unique energetic signature. There's a unique root cause to them, which really has nothing to do with money. And, you know, this is true with, I think, most things in life. Your relationship with food has very little to do with food. Your, you know, even like your relationship with your spouse in a weird way has very little to do with your spouse. It has so much more to do with how you're playing out your, what you witnessed as a child and the relationship dynamics that you saw. And it's like until we start doing that inner child healing and the subconscious excavation, we're really living a lot of life on autopilot and just replaying these same patterns. And then we just project those patterns onto different aspects of our lives. And so the same is true with money. It's like money is energy. It has actually a very neutral frequency. It's like money isn't inherently good or bad. It's not inherently choosing to bless one person and not another. But then we project all kinds of stuff onto money, and then that changes our relationship to it. And so it's not so much about the money, but learning what you're projecting onto it and healing the root cause that then allows you to have a much cleaner relationship with money, and more of it can flow to you more easily.
I love that. I know I keep saying that, but I just love this conversation so much. So when you are healing these wounds at the root cause, like, how do you go through guiding your client on how to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I really take a mind and body approach. And I think it's super important, because there are beliefs that are wired into our brain. Mm-hmm. And so we know that, you know, it's like, what do they say, that they fire together and wire together, right? So it's like, if one neuron fires and it's like, oh, there's a bill, and then the other neuron that's used to firing right along with that is like, oh my God, how am I going to live? Then it's like, over time, that just becomes the way that your brain, there's like a groove there, there's a pattern, and it's easy. So we have to repattern that. And I use a variety of tools and modalities to repattern the brain. And we appeal to the logic as well. I think sometimes our thinking mind just gets a bad rap. Partially because it is so limited and it's not in control of as much as we would like it to be. And yet, when we can use logic in our favor, it can be a really helpful tool for dismantling old beliefs. So it's like we dismantle the old, we repattern the new, and then we also do a lot of clearing in the body as well, because many of these wounds have a very somatic response. And if you're someone who avoids looking at your finances, you're going to know what I'm talking about, because the idea of logging into your bank account, it's like, I'm actually feeling it right now. It's not mine, but I'm picking up on something in the collective where it's like, I can feel my stomach actually tightening just as I say that. So it's like, maybe that's not true for you. Maybe it's a chest, but somewhere in your body, you're having a physical reaction to your relationship with money. So we also have to clear out those stuck emotions. And again, we use multiple modalities to do that. I have a signature program called Money Wound Medicine. And so we go through all of it there, but it really creates a permanent shift. And I'm sure you see this in your work as well, where it's like once you wake up to something, you can't ever go back to sleep. You can't ever unknow it. And so it doesn't mean you'll never have a healed money wound that flares up again. You probably will have a flare up, but you will never go back to that place where you're like, I don't understand this. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's happening. You're going to be like, ah, okay, that's my money trust wound. Mm-hmm. I know what this is. I know what it feels like. I know what it's trying to tell me. And I know the potent medicine that actually treats this. And so it's like, you have this permanent healing. There is a distinct before money healing and after money healing. And the way that you operate in the world after you've done that healing is remarkably different.
Yes. It's like you open up your awareness. And that's something I teach a lot in just manifesting in general, right? Is we need to be aware of where we were, where we want to be, and then all of the things in between that we need to change or work on, or like you said, dismantle before we can get to that next level. And It's so true. It doesn't matter even if it's not a money belief, if you have any limiting beliefs ever, they don't just go away forever. There's going to be times when you come back up and you say, okay, wait, that was like the old me. That was my old way of thinking. I'm feeling this way about this because of, and then you can dig in and turn inwards. And we're no, exactly, you're no longer thinking, what is wrong with me? Or why can't I just succeed? Or why is this happening to me? It's like, okay, how is this actually helping? How is this helping me? How is this for me? How yeah. can I use what I, like this lesson that I'm being given right now?
Yeah.
You know, almost like it's like a mirror or a trigger, right? When something is triggered, it's the universe mirroring to you, hey, you need to do a little bit more work in this area in order to pass this test or pass this yes. lesson and get to that next area or get to that next level of where you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you were saying before, because our subconscious mind is in charge and so much lives in the subconscious, when these things come up, when there is a trigger or something unfortunate that happens, it's actually like these little peeks into the subconscious. And if we're willing to look at it from that perspective and get curious, we can really start to better understand what's going on below the surface that's actually controlling so much of our lives. And there's a quote from Carl Jung that I absolutely love. Until you make the subconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate.
Mm, I love that.
Yeah. So it's like in your example where you manifest $13,000 and then immediately there's like two different financial crises. Mm. Most people would call that fate. Most people would be like, I don't know why that happened to me. This sucks. How is it that I finally get a little bit ahead on money and then immediately these two things happen? And I want to say I have so much compassion for anyone who's going through that. And, you know, it's like if we were having a girlfriend chat and you told me that, I wouldn't be like, that's just your subconscious and you just wanted it to happen. It's like, Even if both of us know that on some level, we can still have so much compassion for ourselves because it's incredibly triggering to the human. And it makes us feel really unsafe. It can make us feel unworthy. It can make us feel broken. So it's like I can hold all of that and really empathize with all of that. And then usually there's this moment when like, the pity party is over and then it's like, okay, so if I believe that there's something in my subconscious that I haven't made conscious yet, but it's directing my life. And so instead of me just calling it fate and being like, I had no control, I was a victim of circumstance, let me get curious. What could be going on in my subconscious that would be a match for money coming in and then immediately having to leave. Wonder what that is.
Yeah, exactly. And we are human. Like, we're going to feel feelings. That's normal, you know? A lot of people are like, oh, you can't have any negative emotions ever. No, we're human. It's okay to have negative emotions.
We only have like thousands of them on the daily.
Right. Like, it's not, you can't live in only happy, high vibrational, positive feelings all of the time because we are, in fact, human. And when we get these feelings, it's okay to feel them and then just let them go. But like, it's okay to sit with them for a little bit and ask yourself, like, why did it make me feel this way? Oh, okay. Well, that actually made me feel really unworthy, or that made me feel really unsafe when it just all got taken from me. Like, where is the security here? Yeah. And so again, triggers and mirrors of being like, what can I continue to work on to release these beliefs and then this not happen again in the future, right?
Yeah. And like, not only is it okay to feel your feelings, you need to feel your feelings.
Like
trying to bypass them, all that does is, again, create stored trauma because the feelings will move through if you let them be felt. If you don't, then they just stay stuck in the body and they manifest as all kinds of health problems. So Feel,
yes.
This is a public service announcement. Feel your feelings. Okay. In fact, it is very healthy.
Yes, yes. Like, say it louder because it's so true. And I think a lot of people don't understand that you can physically track feelings in your body. You know, for me, I always notice, I mean, your hips, they say, is the emotional container. And when my hips are sort of like, my whole body is just completely out of whack. And it's like, you can physically release blocked energy as well as doing it from within, right? Like you said, there's so many different modalities to release these trapped energies and stagnant energy. And even eating non-processed food, I'm not saying never eat processed food, don't, you know, but eating a variety of whole foods is going to help your qi and your traditional Chinese medicine, your energy flow through your body. Like there's so many ways that we can be helping ourselves. And it's not just like, oh, I'm going to be healthier in my physical body. It's mentally and emotionally and spiritually. Like everything is so connected. And if we could just understand that our thoughts and our physical reality are the same, then I think people's lives would change so much faster.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And not only would lives change faster, but you would enjoy the human experience more. Yeah. I spent a lot of years, and I didn't know any different, but I was kind of trying to bypass the human experience. I was on kind of like an Eastern religious sort of path, like doing a lot of meditation. And so I was having, you know, these really beautiful and transcendental experiences in meditation. And then when I would come out of that and be back in my human, it felt like this really big disconnect. And of course, I was getting a lot of benefits from the meditation. Like it wasn't bad, but there was this moment where I kind of realized, like, hang on a second. My soul really fought hard to come back. Like, if I believe what these teachers are saying, I was in the astral world as an energetic being, and I fought really hard to come back into a human body because I wanted and needed to have this experience. And what am I doing with this experience? I'm trying to live like a soul. Like, I'm trying to just meditate and turn off the five senses and just have this soul experience. What's going on here? And that really was a huge shift for me. And it helped me to enjoy so much more of what it actually means to be human. And like we were talking about with the feelings, like, our higher self came here to feel all of these feelings.
Uh-huh.
So not just the good ones, all of them. So can I just allow myself to experience that range of emotion? My higher self came here to experience what it was like to co-create and to have to think about something in thought and create it in the quantum first and hold that vibration long enough to have it come into physical reality and have it feel like surprise and delight and magic when it happens. So why am I getting frustrated about the manifestation process when there was the most important part of me actually chose this experience? And I don't know if that helps anyone, but to me, it was like such a big shift from this is like happening to me to I chose this. Wow. It's like putting on VR goggles and like just letting yourself like really immerse in the experience of being human.
Yes. And can you even really experience joy and love and goodness if you've never felt the opposite? Because it's like always having summer. If you never had fall or winter or spring, would you know the difference? Would you still be grateful for when summer comes? Or would it be like the opposite? Oh my God, it's so hot today, right?
Right.
I imagine people that live places where it's like hot all the time also kind of see that. Or like if you live somewhere and you never had rain, right? Like it might always be hot, but if you never had rain, well, then you'd be like, everything is so dry, everything burning up. Like there has to be that. You know, there is a law of polarity and there has to be that opposite in order for us to be grateful for the thing that we want. We need to also have the opposite feeling of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would love to know, I think like a lot of my listeners are probably still trying to make a six-figure business. So okay. I'd love to know kind of more about your journey on how you created your first six-figure business, and then we can like get into even the mindset shift of how you went from living in that life to your seven-figure business, if you want to maybe expand on that story.
Sure. Cool. Yeah, so, I mean, the interesting thing is that I will say, like, one of my money wounds that I've had to work to heal is this real orientation towards delayed gratification. So this started in childhood because I grew up in a household where a lot of the arguments that my parents had were around money. And I didn't want to be a burden to my parents, and I didn't want to cause conflict in my household. And so what I decided was, well, if I could just not want things, like, and I didn't really have to ask them for things and they didn't have to buy me things, then that would create more harmony and I wouldn't be burdening them. And so I really got good at suppressing my desires to the point where, like, I didn't even feel like I had them. You know, people would ask me, like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't think. I had such a hard time of thinking about anything that I wanted, because to admit to myself that I wanted it felt so scary, because, like, what if there was, like, disappointment and I didn't get it or whatever. And so I took a lot of that orientation, that delayed gratification, into business. I think it served me well in certain aspects, but it also did come from a wounded place. So I just want to, like, give that context. I was making a good, like, probably $150,000 a year in corporate America. My husband and I didn't start our product-based business until right after my daughter was born. Like, I was on maternity leave when we started it. So we had responsibilities. We had a kiddo. We had a mortgage. And I at that point in time, I didn't even really want to quit my job. But also, there was no way I could have just quit and then tried to build a six-figure business. So I always was looking longer range, like, how do I build something that ultimately could replace? So at the time, essentially, there was 3 years where I was raising my daughter, but she was also at daycare, and I was working a corporate job and would be a good mom for a few hours, and then she'd go to bed, and then I would put in, like, 3 hours of work on our e-commerce business. Fast forward 3 years, and we were at about, like, $700,000 a year in gross revenue. And that was not enough, because when you subtract out inventory costs, advertising costs, the business was growing. So, like, we were continuing to have to buy more inventory to keep up with growth, which is wonderful. There wasn't a ton that we were able to take out and put in our bank account. And it wasn't always super consistent either. The business was cyclical, and there were certain months that were better than others. So it's 3 years later. I'm super pregnant with my son, Jude. I go out on maternity leave, and the goal was, like, I don't want to go back. I really, really don't want to do it the same way that I did with Faye, where she was only, you know, 8 weeks old, and I'm giving her to someone else. And then I'm driving to client meetings with breast pumps attached to me. Like, it just felt like, no, we can't do that twice. So we started our agency, and I was getting paid, like, you know, disability, maternity leave or whatever, and built up the agency to enough where I could quit. So then between the two businesses and, you know, the kind of runway that we gave ourselves, like, that's how it all worked. So deep breath. That was a lot. But all of that to say, there is a lot of really harmful messaging online about what it means to be all in and what it means to take the leap in your business. I hope you hear that when I tell that story, there was no part of me that wasn't all in. I was just all in and also taking care of my family and also taking care of my nervous system and also practicing sound financial projections and knowing that this business was doing great and it couldn't having the pressure of it having to pay us a six-figure salary, it wasn't there yet. None of that meant that I wasn't all in. And I think sometimes people think like, well, I'll just quit the job and somehow I'll make it work. And for some people, that's what they do. And it does happen. And for a lot of people, they fry their nervous system. They freak out. They get into debt. They have such a hard time. And then they have to go back and get either a part-time or a full-time job and then dig out of the debt and heal the parts of themselves that they no longer trust in order to do it again. So there's no one way to do it. And Steve Jobs always says, like, it's amazing how long it takes to be an overnight success. And I really believe that. Most everyone, even the people on the internet that are acting like they just made $100,000 in 1 minute, if you were to actually study their story and be in private conversation with them so that you could fill in the blanks from what they're sharing online, it almost never happened that way. There was always something that led up to it, and it took some time. So that's really okay. And if you're building a six-figure business, like, it will happen. If you keep at it, it will happen. And it might take some time. And like, the things that we actually value the most in our lives take some time. And that was something I learned from Abraham Hicks that really helped me to reorient around this idea of like instant manifestation versus a manifestation that takes a little while. And she told a lot of different stories and it helped me realize the things that I'm most likely to tell you, the manifestation stories that are most meaningful to me, did not happen instantly. There was a time when we wanted it, or we had planted the seed and we weren't sure it was going to happen. And there were usually some plot twists and turns and things that were close but then didn't work out before the real thing happened. And that actually makes us love it even more. And so when you look at your six-figure business as this journey where once you're at the six-figure mark, you're not going to be scolding yourself like, oh, that should have happened instantly. You're going to look back on it and be like, oh, I see how each of those lessons and each of those things that happened and even the stuff that seemed so terrible in the moment was actually helping me in building the strength and the resiliency and the skill set that I needed in order to get to this place. Wow, I'm so freaking proud of myself and I'm so glad that I'm here.
Yes, I'm so glad that you said resilience, because that is the first thing that popped into my mind too. And when we're talking about the nervous system, and you don't have a strong nervous system, like, that is the number one thing I think all of us need to work on, is just having a resilient nervous system where, yes, things happen to us, but then we can go back into saying, you know what, I'm still safe. I'm still good. I'm good. I can handle this and I can move forward. And yeah, without that, how can we manifest anything? Because the universe wants to know that we can handle whatever is coming next. And every level of success has new challenges that we're going to face and new levels. And, you know, I mean, you could probably confirm this, but people who are running 7- and 8-figure businesses, they're saying that as you expand into those, like, the tests they feel harder and more challenging. They hit you harder. So if you can't face the challenges of a 5-figure or a 6-figure business,
right,
then you definitely can't handle the challenges of like an 8-figure business, right? Because it's going to hit you so hard, it's going to knock you right off your feet and you won't know where to go next. So it's like each of those stages is taking you through the steps to become your next level self. And it's all important and all like part of the lessons and tests that you have to be able to handle and pass in order to get to the next level and next level and the next level.
Totally. I mean, I remember having this holy shit moment where I'm like, our payroll is $40,000 a month. So like our business really needs to earn like $50,000 or $60,000 a month just to pay the people on the team. And the crazy thing was like we were already doing it. But all of a sudden, like something about that number felt really heavy and scary when I added it all up and realized it. It's like already doing it. But then I still had to build some mindset around it too. And, you know, these weird things happen when you become an employer that you never expect. Like I would get calls and it's a loan officer verifying the income of one of my employees to make sure that they're qualified for a mortgage. And again, you have this moment where you're like, holy shit, people are getting mortgages based on the fact that they work for me. And, you know, sometimes as an entrepreneur, you're kind of like winging it. Like, you know, you're got like a month-to-month strategy on how this whole thing is going to work. And then meanwhile, you're telling this mortgage company like, yes, they work for me and they make this salary and they've been working for me for this long. And, you know, it's like there's like this identity crisis where you're like, oh, God, I don't really feel like I have everything together. But somehow we've built this business. And so it's true. Like you wouldn't want that before your nervous system can actually handle it because, you know, that could keep you up at night if you weren't in a place where you had built a lot of evidence of like, oh, well, it's always worked out in the past and it's working out now. And I believe that it's going to continue working out.
So funny. That was such a funny example. But it's so true. It's like you're now stepping into this identity of your future self and you really have to be able to embody that. And I know in manifestation world, we talk a lot about embodiment. And what does that mean? But it just being that version of it literally just means being the version of who you want to be. And so to get into that stage, like that is such a far place from where I am, is managing somebody who needs a mortgage for their house, right? And providing an income for that. So yeah, it's like, wow, I really see that through the eyes of where you were when you were like realizing.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's just exactly like each, it proves my point in that each level of success comes with a different identity of who you are as that version of you. And, you know, we talk a lot about, or in the new year, you'll see people saying, you don't need to change. You don't need resolution. And it's like, it's okay to change because we're constantly changing and it's okay to want to change, but changing doesn't mean that you're no longer the same person. It means that you're stepping into a new identity of the way you see yourself and what you're capable of and the opportunities that you want to come to you. It doesn't mean that you weren't good enough as the version that you were before. It just means that now, in order to hold that space for new opportunities and new potential, you have to be able to step into the identity and perception of a new version, because those are two completely different people that you just talked about. Is so having, you know, the money to pay $40,000 in salary to people per month and where you were before that.
Yeah.
Right? Like those are two completely different people, the way you show up and the way your nervous system handles that and the way you think about things has to shift, because otherwise you'd be like, I can't pay that. I guess I'll just do it all myself, which you obviously can't do.
Right. Yeah, it's true. So much of it is identity work. And I don't know if this is just my reticular activating system, which is the part of my brain that filters out things that aren't congruent. But I've never seen anyone say like, you don't need to change. But I think it's probably is indicative of my orientation, which is like, I tend to always be keyed into the next thing. And so I consistently need to remember to soften and slow down. Like turtle medicine is really helpful for me, and like gratitude and appreciation, and remembering to look backward, not only look forward, because it's actually only when we look backward that we can see and appreciate the progress and where we used to be and where we are now. Because I tend, and a lot of my clients, you know, who also I like identify as just like high achievers, tend to have this too, where it's like, that's just always like underlying mild dissatisfaction with where you're at now, because you can so clearly see that next version of you, and she feels close, and then you feel like a little bit annoyed that you're not fully her yet. And if we don't slow down enough to like stop and smell the roses proverbially and to look back and realize how far we've journeyed, then we can really squander a lot of this one precious life in this striving for the next thing and feeling a bit dissatisfied that we're not there yet.
Yes, I think it's so important also when it comes to manifesting. How many manifestations have you already called into your life that you never really even considered was something that maybe you were even manifesting? Maybe you're like, I don't believe in manifestation. And then you look back and you think, okay, well, you know what? I always wanted to get married, to buy a house, to move across the country, whatever it is. You've always wanted those things. And hey, wait, I've actually done all of those things.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually wanted those at one time and now I have them. And to be able to really look back, and that's also where gratitude practice comes in, right? Is to be mindful of the fact that, hey, I'm thankful for these things. Like I wanted those last year and now I have them.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I did that. I manifested that. Hey, okay. So yes, I can manifest, and I'm going to be in a year from now sitting here thinking about this specific thing that I'm trying to call in right now.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is just, yeah, keep looking backwards. I think that's such a great point. I actually meant to say that earlier when you were talking about something. I can't remember exactly what it was that popped up in my head. And I was like, yes, we have to look at where we were to know where we are and where we're going.
Yeah.
Such an important part of that.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, like taking stock and inventory and really appreciating what we have, like you were saying, like most of the things in our lives at one point was something on our vision board. And we have a tendency to fixate on the one area of life that doesn't feel up to snuff. And so there's this feeling that like, well, if 90% of life is good and there's this 10% that's problematic, I'm going to focus on that 10%, because once I fix that, then 100% is going to be good. But what we focus on expands. And so when we do that, we expand the problem. And so then all of a sudden it only feels like 70% of our life is good and 30% is problematic, because we've just really amplified the problem. And the way that we get out of that trap is actually by focusing on the 90% that's good, and like giving less of our focus and attention to the 10% that's not quite where we want it, and trusting that that's already being worked out, and that when our point of attraction is one of gratitude and appreciation and in being an embodiment of our manifestations, then the 10% is going to take care of itself. And so, you know, when I do that, it's like I can imagine, you know, a woman who's very wealthy, who's achieved everything she could ever want financially, and she doesn't have a partner, and she so badly wants kids, and the years are creeping up, and she's starting to wonder if it's ever going to happen for her. And it's like this deep longing in her heart to share this life with someone else and to have a baby. And it's like, no amount of money can buy that. And if we just try to make money the end all be all, it's like, well, but there's someone out there who has all the money and doesn't have these other things. And I'm so grateful. Like, I have an incredible partner to share life with. And we've built this life together. And we have two gorgeous, healthy kids. And it's like, there are some people who would give any amount of money to have that. And I have it. Like, are you kidding me? I have it. And not only do I have it, but it came so effortlessly to me that sometimes I forget to even be grateful for it. What the heck?
Mm-hmm. That just gave me like chills when you said that. It's so true. It's and you know, like love and money and abundance, joy, it's all on the same frequency. And if you are struggling with money, like focus on love. Like not just put love out there. Love yourself. Focus on just those high vibrations and calling those in. And don't worry about the money. You know, like if you're just stressing about money, then that's what you're gonna get is more stress about money. But if you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to give myself some self-love. I'm going to give my partner extra. I'm going to go hug my kids and really just focusing on feeling good will help you just manifest more good things into your realm and your world.
Yeah.
I know that you have to go shortly. So maybe we could do like a little summary and say, so first thing that you would say right now, if somebody wanted to, have, let's say, a six-figure business. So that's what they're leaning towards. They're going towards that. Heal your money wounds. So I think you have a quiz on your website you mentioned. So I'm going to link that. And that quiz gives you your money wounds.
Yes,
is that what
does.
That quiz is? Yes. Okay. Perfect. So I'll link that. So go there, check that, see what that tells you. So heal your money wounds. And then what would you say are like the next few steps that really help you, whether that's like mindset or like practical business things, to like get into that, I'm gonna create this business and then you did it.
Yeah. I would start training your mind to really notice gaps in the market. And that's true for product-based businesses or service-based. So when we were doing products, some of our most successful products, we had no data to support the fact that it would be successful, except for the fact that I was a young mom and I went to buy it and I didn't like my options on Amazon. And I thought, oh, okay. So we just need to create the thing that I would have bought. And if I would have bought it, then I bet you there's thousands of other moms that would buy it too. And, you know, we sold, I'm like thinking of one specific product and it was a back to school chalkboard so that when you take a picture of your kid, you can like write down their stats and that kind of stuff, you know, and take the picture with it. And it's like, we probably sold, I don't know, $700,000 worth of those if I were to add it all up.
Yeah. Amazing.
All because I just noticed a gap in the market because I had trained my brain to be looking for that. The same is true with service-based businesses. Like we started our agency because we were having success selling all this stuff on Amazon. And so many people would ask us questions and we would give them what we thought was just like the most obvious strategies and they couldn't execute on it and they didn't understand it and they were frustrated. And still we didn't see the opportunity until one of our mentors was like, you realize this is a business. Like you need to start an agency so people can hire you and you can just do it for them. So gaps in the market. And it, in my opinion, when you're starting, the more tangible, the better. It can be, I think, a bit of a harder path to be like, well, I'm just highly intuitive. And when people talk to me, they feel better, but I can't really explain it. It's like, I believe you. I do. And that is going to be harder to sell because people aren't like typing into Google, who is someone I can talk to where I just feel better afterwards. And it's like, it's going to be harder to learn how to talk about it and have that exchange. So
it's very hard.
Yeah.
I'm there. It's very
it's
hard.
It's very hard. So, you know, find ways that you can look at something a bit more tangibly. And that doesn't mean that you can't infuse your magic into it. I really, this is a bit of a tangent, but I really believe that that's part of like the new earth that people talk about. It's just that I think we're moving toward people being tapped in and using their intuitive skills in all different areas to where it's like, you can go to, you know, the intuitive dentist. You can go to the barista that's going to like put adaptogens into your drink based on how they sense that you're feeling. it's not that we like won't need people to make our coffee anymore or we won't need dentists. It's just that some of us will feel more drawn to the people who are also more tapped into energy and infusing that into their tangible skill set. So I would definitely recommend that, just looking, finding ways to notice gaps in the market and seeing if you can fill one of those. And it doesn't have to be your forever thing. In fact, it probably won't be. Like, the way that you make your first six figures is not typically going to be the thing that makes you millions, but it's like building your business chops. And so it's like, if you can make six figures and get the equivalent of an MBA level education in business, great. And you can pivot that into anything that you want after.
Yeah, I love that. It's such good advice, is find what needs to be sold, right? Like, where can you help people? How can you use your gifts? Make it tangible. Yeah. Love it.
And get comfortable with not knowing what the F you're doing, because it's pretty much always going to feel like that. But don't let it stop.
Yeah, just learning. Yeah, like being interested and curious and wanting to, instead of looking at something as a, I don't know how to do this, it's like, let me see how I can figure out how to do this, right? It's just a mindset shift of, I can do anything. I just need to learn how to do it. And you know what? There's Google, and Google has answers for everything. And there's also ChatGPT, where you can just literally ask. I barely even Google things now. I just ask ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Because it's more curated results of like what the question that I have.
Yes. So. We have plenty of resources. So don't let that be your excuse. Many.
Yes. Okay. I loved chatting with you today. Thank you so much. And I'm going to post the link here for your quiz and get people started on healing those beliefs, because I want all women to have so much money and to live in a world where it's just normal to have money.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.